Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nar Trees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, Living an Orgasmic Life, Heal Yourself, and Awaken Your Pleasure is a nonfiction guide by sex and intimacy educator Xanet Pillay. Positioned at the intersection of self-help, sexual wellness, and trauma-informed healing, the book focuses on helping readers rebuild a healthy, embodied relationship with sexuality. Its central purpose is not simply to improve technique or performance, but to address the emotional and psychological barriers that can block desire, intimacy, and pleasure. Drawing on Pillay's own experience of moving from a long sexless marriage into sexual awakening, the book combines personal narrative with practical exercises and guidance. It is especially aimed at women who feel disconnected from their erotic selves, though it also speaks to men and couples facing sexual disconnection. The book reflects a broader sex-positive and body-aware approach that treats pleasure as something learnable, recoverable, and deeply connected to healing, communication, and self-acceptance. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, sexual healing is treated as the starting point for pleasure, not a side issue. A defining feature of this book is its insistence that sexual difficulty often has roots in shame, trauma, fear, or long-term disconnection from the body. Rather than treating low desire or unsatisfying sex as isolated problems, Pillay frames them as symptoms of deeper wounds that need attention first. This matters because many sexuality books focus narrowly on arousal, technique, or partner compatibility, while this one begins with repair. The book repeatedly returns to the idea that healing is a prerequisite for genuine pleasure. That makes its method more psychologically grounded than a simple advice manual. Readers are guided to consider how past experiences, social messages, and internalized embarrassment shape present sexual behavior. By positioning healing ahead of performance, the book offers a framework that can make change feel more realistic for people who have not responded to conventional sex advice. Secondly, practical exercises turn sexual insight into embodied change. The book is notable for its applied structure. It does not stay at the level of affirmation or theory. It repeatedly offers lessons, exercises, and prompts that are meant to move readers from reflection into bodily practice. This is significant because sexual distress is often experienced physically as numbness, tension, avoidance, or shutdown. So intellectual understanding alone may not be enough. The exercises appear designed to help readers notice sensation, reconnect with desire, and explore pleasure with greater curiosity and less judgment. That practical orientation also makes the book accessible to readers who want a concrete process rather than abstract discussion. In the self-help category, this kind of stepwise engagement is important because it gives the material a usable shape. The book therefore functions less like a commentary on sexuality and more like a workbook for rebuilding erotic confidence through repeated, manageable action. Thirdly, the book links sexual shame to body image, anxiety, and disconnection. Another important dimension is its attention to the social and emotional pressures that distort sexual self-perception. The book suggests that many people, especially women, learn to feel ashamed of their desires, uncertain about their bodies, or anxious about being seen. These forces can create a gap between what a person wants and what they feel permitted to want. Pillay's approach is useful because it treats sexual dissatisfaction as more than a mechanical or relational problem. It is also a problem of self-image and inherited conditioning. By naming shame directly, the book challenges the secrecy that often surrounds sexual struggle that can be especially valuable for readers who have internalized the idea that their difficulty is unusual or personal failure. The emphasis on body awareness also broadens the book beyond intercourse or orgasm as endpoints. Instead, sexual well-being is tied to feeling at home in the body and able to inhabit pleasure without self-criticism. Fourthly, intimacy is presented as a relational skill that can be rebuilt. The book does not treat sexuality as purely private. It gives substantial attention to how intimacy works between partners, especially in long-term relationships where desire may fade or communication may break down. This makes the book relevant to readers in sexless marriages or otherwise stagnant relationships, which is one of its clearest practical audiences. Rather than assuming chemistry should simply return on its own, Pillay presents intimacy as something that can be learned, repaired, and cultivated through attention and honest communication. That framing is important because it reduces blame while still preserving responsibility. It suggests that partners can actively participate in restoring erotic connection instead of waiting passively for desire to reappear. The book therefore sits in a useful middle ground between individual healing and relationship repair. Its value lies in showing how personal sexual healing can support a healthier shared life, not just private self-esteem. Lastly, trauma-informed and sex-positive language make the book broadly usable. The book stands out for combining a sex-positive outlook with trauma awareness. That combination is important because many sexuality books lean either toward celebration without enough sensitivity to harm or toward pathology without enough room for pleasure. Palit instead argues that pleasure is legitimate, learnable, and important, while also recognizing that abuse, fear, and emotional injury can make pleasure hard to access. This balance gives the book a wider practical range. It can speak to readers recovering from sexual trauma, but also to those who simply feel blocked, bored, or uncertain about their erotic life. The tone is compassionate without being clinical, and the book appears to include client stories and personal experience that make the material more relatable. In the broader category of sexual wellness books, this blend of empathy, body-based awareness, and direct instruction is a major distinguishing feature. It makes the book usable both as a personal guide and as a resource for therapists, coaches, and partners. In conclusion, Living an Orgasmic Life will be most useful to readers who want a serious, grounded approach to sexual healing rather than a narrow focus on technique or performance. It is especially relevant for women who feel shut down, ashamed, or disconnected from desire, as well as for couples dealing with intimacy problems or a long-term decline in sexual connection. Readers recovering from sexual trauma may also find the book helpful because it treats pleasure and healing as connected, rather than opposing goals. Its main benefit is practical. It offers a framework for understanding why desire disappears and what can be done to rebuild it through awareness, body-based exercises, and more honest communication. Intellectually, it stands out because it joins sex positivity with trauma-informed thinking, avoiding both moralizing and oversimplification. Compared with many books in the sexual wellness category, it is more personal, more relational, and more focused on emotional repair. That combination gives it a distinct place as both a guide and a companion for readers who want to reconnect with their bodies and relationships in a more conscious way. If you would like to support Zanette Pilet, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.